But right now we say good afternoon and welcome to the game, Andy Bagnato, the Chief of Communications for the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. Andy, good afternoon. Good to hear from you, and we appreciate your time today.
Good to hear from you guys, too. How's everything going there in Manhattan?
Well, things are going great. A little warmer in your direction than it is here, but that's okay. That's why Cat fans love coming to Arizona for bowl games.
Yeah.
This is a bowl that's near and dear to Bill Snyder's heart. Once upon a time, it was the Copper Bowl. It was where K-State picked up their first bowl win, and over the years it's transformed into the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. And one thing that's been discussed on our shows yesterday and today, Andy, and you know, over the weekend, it was something that came up, was how K-State and Michigan wound up being the matchup, because prior to the various upsets, you know, K-State was slated to go to the Holiday Bowl, but things got changed, and a lot of folks thought it would be K-State and Nebraska. So ultimately, why did it wind up being K-State and Michigan?
Well, actually, that's a good question. We had it back in about a lifetime ago, 2 weeks ago.
That's
a lot of different options. One option was that seemed to be on the table was Oklahoma Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great old Big Eight rivalry, and we weren't real sure on either side. We started to get word that maybe Nebraska would be a possibility. Michigan, Texas was there too. And K-State was kind of on the margins, you know, if you will. I mean, it was not clear if they were going to be, you know, because generally we go for, sometimes it has to do with rating, or, you know, the records, the ratings, most recent in the market since K-State had been here last year. We love seeing their people, but, you know, are they a little fatigued with coming out here, et cetera? So a lot of different things are going on going into last weekend. And then Northern Illinois loses to Bowling Green. And what effect that had on this game was it opened up a door into the BCS for Oklahoma. And so when Oklahoma now goes to the Sugar Bowl, taking the spot that NIU would have had, and in fact, NIU probably would have been here in the Fiesta Bowl in our other game, now the Big 12, everybody moves up a step, if you will. And so suddenly K-State was right on our radar. And that's probably the best way to explain, you know, sort of how they ended up here. On the other side, you know, Michigan is a school we've had out here one time. We've been doing bowl games in Arizona for 43 years. And we've only had Michigan once. They were in the Fiesta Bowl back in 86 with Jim Harbaugh. And so we've been looking at Michigan for a long time. It's our last year of the partnership with the Big Ten on this in this bowl game. And so when they were available, that was a pretty easy decision to make.
We were discussing the fact that Bleacher Report had released the list of the top 10 teams in terms of TV ratings and TV viewership throughout the season. Michigan ranked third on that list. Is that something that you guys factored into this too?
Absolutely. Understand that bowl games for sponsors are often media buys, or at least that's a strong part of the sponsorship. And, you know, with Michigan, we have a late kickoff on Saturday night, December 28th. It's a 10:15 Eastern time kickoff. And we've had that kickoff for a couple of years now, and when we first got it from ESPN, we were a little concerned about the audience, and they assured us that, no, Saturday night on the East Coast, you're going to do a great number. And actually, with Oklahoma and Iowa a couple of years ago, or actually both years since we've been in this time slot, our ratings have gone up after halftime. So I don't know if people sleep on the East Coast or not. It's not a lifestyle I'm real familiar with, but having an East Coast presence, and especially a team like Michigan that turns on televisions, is definitely a factor in the decision.
How closely was Nebraska considered? I mean, it just sounds like, from what I'm getting from you, it was a slam dunk to have Michigan.
Well, when I say it's a slam dunk, I mean, I think it's a great thing for our bowl game, but no, absolutely we debated Nebraska and Michigan. I mean, those are two, you know, that's one of those, you're really not going to make a wrong decision. Nebraska's been out here an awful lot over the years, not real recently now. I mean, they haven't been here since around 2000, I think, and they've never played in this game. So, you know, it's nothing against Nebraska, but it was more of a strong feeling towards Michigan. But no, there was a lot of debate going on. That's pretty much all bowl people do for about a month to make the selections, yeah.
Andy Bagnato, Chief of Communications for the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, joins us on the game this afternoon here on KMAN. And Andy, if you would, with the way things have evolved, the name change, tell fans a little bit more about this bowl, what it does, and you know just how easy it is for fans not just to get tickets and go to the game, but to be involved in some of the activities.
Oh, sure. No, and in fact, I think one thing your folks will find out, and so many of them came down that I'm probably trying to find one or two on your listenership who weren't here last year, but they'll find it to be a fairly similar experience in terms of, you know, the pregame festivities, the opportunities in the Valley. I think, I hope I'm not speaking out of school, but I think there's going to be some sort of pep rally for K-State fans.
Right.
I don't know if it's been announced yet. You know, it's the same bowl organization. The difference is, you know, wear a jacket because Sun Devil Stadium can get really chilly. I mean, even by your standards, it can be in the 40s late at night on a December night in Tempe. But the history of this bowl game, I think one of you guys touched on it when you came on. You know, K-State has a huge part in the growth of this game because, you know, it was founded back in the late 80s. At the University of Arizona. It was the Copper Bowl, 1989. Arizona was the first team in the game. And, you know, I think at the time, Tucson people were like, hey, we need to have a bowl game. We need to take care of our local teams, et cetera. And it sort of went along, and the attendance was in the mid-30s, and, you know, and it did okay. High attendance the first 4 years was 40,000 with Utah and Washington State. And then fifth year, Kansas State shows up, which had scant bowl history, and was just thrilled to be in a bowl game. 49,000 people show up. So that game, I think, if you look at the history of this bowl game, that's the one that sort of galvanized people into saying, hey, this property can really do something special. The next year we had BYU in Oklahoma. And so, you know, I credit K-State with having a real assist in the growth of this property. Now, it was called the Copper Bowl when it was down in Tucson, and that's kind of a nod to our, you know, tradition of copper here in Arizona. And then after the 99 season, the game moved up here to Phoenix. It was purchased by the Fiesta Bowl at that time. It looked like the bowl game might actually go out of business. You can't have K-State every year, I guess. And so in 99, the Fiesta Bowl organization bought the bowl game. It's the first time one bowl had purchased another. And moved it up here to Phoenix, where it was played at the Arizona Diamondbacks ballpark. It was then known as Bank One Ballpark, mm-hmm. Chase Field. It was over there for about 5 years, and then we moved to Tempe, the current location, in 2006, and we've been there ever since. And that was also the year that we started the affiliation with the Big 12, Big 10. For years, we had done Pac-12, Big East. We'd had Big East and Open, and so it's been a growing property, and I think one of the neat things about it is that with the Big 12 schools, they're very acclimated to our market, whether they've been here as Fiesta Bowl participants or on the former Insight Bowl. And Insight, by the way, in case you don't know, that was a Tempe, or still is a Tempe company that specializes in technology. And 2 years ago, Buffalo Wild Wings moved in as the title sponsor, and they've been great.
Well, and I'm excited about this. I have to ask you about a tweet that I saw from the official Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl account. Is it true that there's going to be sauce available to the media?
Oh, yeah. How many bottles do you want?
as many as I can fit in my arms, I think, on the way back.
Exactly. I don't know what TSA regulations are, you know.
That's true.
But, oh, yeah. It's a
ship it UPS or FedEx.
There you go. Exactly.
I'll take a case of the hot.
Yes. Well, you know, our other sponsor is Tostitos, so we spend a lot of time with the media members, making them very happy. And, yeah, it's the same media hotel and all that, and you will be seeing plenty. We did a wing drop in the press box last year at halftime, so guys are eating chicken wings and then typing their game stories, and that was pretty fun to watch.
Andy Bagnato, Chief of Communications for the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. Andy, appreciate it. Good stuff. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of purple down there, but very unique matchup as K-State and Michigan square off for the first time.
Definitely, guys. Thanks again, and we look forward to seeing you and your fans here in a couple weeks.